Never blame nobody if I don't preach. Never blame nobody. You're making a mistake, young man or old man. If you go out in the world and you look for reasons, excuses, and somebody to blame if you don't do no good. And nobody's fault but yours. Lord, give me something I can do. Lord, give me something I can do. And if I fail to do it, and my soul is lost, it's nobody's fault but mine. Don't blame nobody. Tell you something, preacher man, when you say, if they'd have helped me, I could have preached. No, you couldn't. That's right, you. Amen. If they got behind me, I could have sang. You mean you can't carry a tune if people don't back you? I'd be ashamed to tell it. Help me right now, Lord. 51 years ago, lost as a man could get lost. No upbringing. Wasn't taken to church. Didn't know anything about God in the Bible. I thought J-O-B was Job. I didn't know a Job. I thought Psalms was Psalms. I didn't know it. I mean, I was ignorant as a hog. Amen, I was. I was ignorant as a hog. I know there ain't nobody else like me. And I don't try to be like nobody else. I tried to change. I did. Honestly, I did. I saw fellas I knew were doing better than I'd ever do. I got down and prayed earnestly when I heard G.W. and Dan sing before G.W. was ever married. Great Lamb of God. My Jesus. I heard them boys sing. It stirred me up so loud I just went to praying ferociously. Seriously. Down to business. On singing. God, I said, help me to sing. Bless me to sing. Right in the middle of my famous praying, the Lord interrupted me. I mean, he didn't wait for me to finish. He didn't politely wait for me to get through. He just interrupted and said, Lord, right in on me. I did not call you to sing. I called you to preach. He's talking to me in English. You don't understand him, he'll make you understand him. My little girl said, where that lady is, it's dressed in blue right back there with the lady dressed in white. I don't know what it is about young lady, but the Lord understands. You hear me? My girl was in this building the night the Lord from heaven gave me the message on, I don't understand,
I remember.
My girl was in confusion. She's like a lot of our young ladies and young men today, didn't know who to marry or who to go with or whether to go with anybody or not. And she was traveling with us, and we was trying to help her, you know. And that night here in this building, the good Lord knows you, boy. Let me interrupt this story to tell you when at Cherokee Indian in South Oklahoma, when Willie Padgett got saved, he went back to his full-blood Cherokee mother. I'm glad of that blood that's in me. I just appreciate Indians and everybody. Will Rogers said he never met a man he didn't like. Well, I like people too. I never met one I couldn't speak to. I tried to witness to one, and I said, I believe we'll start with the weather. And I said, looks like it's going to rain, don't it? He said, I'm such an old fool, folks have to tell me when it looks like rain. I like to lost my footing. I felt like turning him over to Satan for blaspheming and going on to the next one. But you know, the Lord understands. And when Willie got saved, he went back to Mama and he said, Mama, Jesus saved Willie.
Yeah.
She could just speak a few broken words of English. A bunch of my ancestors done that. They went to preach at Anadarko, Oklahoma, on the streets, full of Indian Choctaws all in front of me. One of them said, me no got him. Me get him. Me want him like you got him.
Yeah.
I understood that talk.
Yeah.
Willie's mama said, Jesus saved Willie, Jesus saved mama, tried to pray through in her broken English and couldn't do it. And she said, son, me no pray through English, me pray through Cherokee. God speaks it fluently, always have. Back when my forefathers beat the drums and danced around the teepees, God understands. You hear me? He has a perfect understanding of what's wrong with your arm, boy. That night he answered Becky's prayer. After church, the only time, you know, it's hard to get your children to brag on your preaching. That boy plays that guitar there. And if you think about it someday and you think he needs to tell him, Brother Moore has a great love for him. Just a place there have, always has been. But did you know it's hard to get them to brag on your preaching? Other folks just are going, start to say, wow, but I need to learn more about English, I guess. Thinking you're doing great. Your wife may not ever say amen or never mention it. Did you notice that? They know you better. They know you can do better than that sometimes. But Becky said, Daddy, that was for me. And that young lady that was looking for a mate, wanted to marry in the will of God and go with somebody that the Lord wanted to go with, went off traveling and got way off into Georgia, where they say, y'all come back. Say pecans instead of pecans. Talk different. She met a little old squirt. Don't tell him I said that. Just a little feller, you know, that means not very big. Fell for him and he fell for her. And you know, I was driving up the road, and of all the boys she'd kind of talked to and been around, hundreds of them amongst the holy churches, the Spirit spoke to me driving up the road and tore me up. That Spirit came to me. There are spirits. They come to you in the night and the day, all the time. And you know, the Spirit of the Lord come to me and said, she has found a boy in the state of Georgia. I said, what? She's found a boy in the state of Georgia. And do you know, it wasn't too long after that, maybe a month or so, that boy called me and said, Brother Moore, yeah, he said, I wanted to ask you something. Well, I said, what is it? He said, could I marry your daughter? I wouldn't have given her to nobody. It was up to me. I'd have never given her to nobody. I said, the only reason you can, son, is because the Spirit told me that she found you before you called me. The only talk I talk a lot of time is just talk that I think you understand. Well, really, I'm not qualified to talk that good, but yet that's what I'd like to do. And the only reason I come to meetings and travel and have not had a full night's sleep, and I believe the 51 years I've been saved. No, just catnap. And all night long, catnapping and praying, what do they need? It doesn't matter what it cost. It's what do you want them to have from me? This old Indian boy, half part Indian and English and American and what have you, going through one time, I just got one trip through here, put something on my tongue, put something in my mind, help me to reach that that somebody needs right out there. It don't matter what it cost. In a place a while back, you believe in tithe paying? I do tithe offerings and alms. And then go on and give a little more to help the missionaries and others. In a place a while back, Don, the Lord gave me $500. I said, thank God. And he said, give it to that man right over there. I didn't even get the whole 10% of it. That's what's called 100% giving, ain't it? You ain't a tightwad, are you? Are you? Oh, you did do it? You did do it. Brother Dillard said, are ye? Did you ever meet Wayne Dillard? He said, the Lord help me. I said, he don't hardly know English. Until I read the Bible. Smart aleck. He hath hope on his servant Israel. And since then, I wouldn't mind saying, they hope on me. You know what English means? I don't. I don't know what I'll preach on. I've got two texts. If I've got time to preach two, I had it in mind to preach two because I can't get straight down on which one to talk about. Be careful how you criticize the Holy Ghost. Brother in Georgia said, lady, shut your mouth or God will kill you. You know you're an authority on English? I'm not. You heard somebody
speak with tongues and sound like they said the same thing they said before, and they interpreted and it was different, and you took out the door and said, if it's God, it'd sound the same, would it? Let's have an English lesson. Now, I'm not an English teacher, but we've got a Japanese here, we'll say, from Japan, and they want to learn English. We're going to teach it to them this morning. Just a little. Word down. We've taught it to this Japanese. Fast. And a man gets up and says, I'm going to fast today. It's going to go like a lightning today. We've learned this word to the Japanese, and fast means to go like a lightning. And I get up in my testimony and say, I'm going to fast today. He says, he's running today. All day long, he'll be going like a lightning. And then another one arises and says, I nailed it fast. He nailed it fast. He fixed it so it couldn't move. That's three definitions of the word fast. If you want to learn English to anybody, you're going to have a time with it. I can see where English would be a hard language to learn. You hear the Holy Ghost say Honda Yamo T, and you just say, sound like Model T. Hey, Model T. That ain't what that means. Be careful in your judgment of the Holy Ghost. It has as much right to use one word to mean three things as we do. And you may judge some sister that talks in tongues or some brother. You ever hear them fellas out of Dale Rule sound like the same thing over and over to me? I said, the fellas repeat yourself over and over and over. They ain't doing nothing but saying the same thing. But folks should understand that. No, they're not saying the same thing. But Dale Rule sound like the same stuff to me over and over. You know I'm right, don't you? You're better read than I am, but you know I'm right. Be careful about the Holy Ghost. That's just one word. We could use several others in the English language. I want to sing since I've been here and do some of my famous singing, but I haven't said just a little bit or two during my orations. But didn't you like Brother Huff? I loved it. I did. We ain't borrowing much from each other, nothing. Not a thing. We ain't swapping nothing or borrowing nothing or nothing. But I'm either deceived or he's a man of God. I'm either deceived or he's a man of God. Yes, sir. Seemed like I could hear his spirit saying, I want to get closer as I get nearer to the end of it all. If I'm famous in anything, I want it to be in the will of God and doing the service of God and being God's man in God's place at God's time, saying what he wants me to say. Seemed like I could hear that coming from him. Over and above what he's preaching. Two words have been on my mind on and off all night last night, and I want to say a few things while I'm here that I should say, and I always think I'm going to leave. I'm not important. I know that 51 years I've been on the road. I'm that's near the end. I'm back when my hair was black, I was a preacher, and 69 years rolled by the other day. B and I are fixing to have our 50th wedding anniversary. Never believed in gold a whole lot, but I'm looking for a bunch of it now. 50th wedding anniversary just coming up, and I've changed my belief on gold. Bring it on in. Oh, bless. I told Brother Don Rich, one of the best friends I've got, we don't live just a few miles apart. If he's crooked, I know it. If I'm crooked, he knows it. And we'd have found it out by now. But we're not. I do not have the gift of discernment. The gift that I prayed 20 years for three times a day works parallel to the gift of discernment. And some folks, because of that, have said that I have the gift of discernment. That passed that word around. That's how Don got that. But no, I do not have the gift of discernment. I've never told a soul that lives in this world what I have. I never told my wife. I was in a meeting, and a man got up at Richlands, and he was a strange preacher to us, and he asked us, what gifts do you have? What gift do you have? What gift do you have? And he was what they call a charismatic, and he belittled us because we would not say what gifts we had, as if we didn't have any. And nobody answered, and he kept asking the question in an attempt to humiliate and embarrass us and show us up and teach us that he had it and we didn't. After a while, I answered him because he kept asking. My brother, you're asking the question of us preachers, what gifts we have. We believe that a man's gift maketh room for him. Without advertisement. He sat down. That's years and years ago. And Grant said, thank God, thank God, thank God. So I just want to say thank you for asking me. I'll come up here and be with y'all in a few services. It's just always such a blessing to be with L.L. Ain't but one L.L. Collins. Never will be nobody else like L.L. Collins. And I love him, and he loves me. And we are friends. We're talking about one word for a little while, T-I-M-E. Can everybody tell it? Time, yes. Just nearly anybody can tell time. It's a very simple subject. The word's mentioned at least 100 or 200 times, probably 200 or better. Time, times, and what have you, before time, or that time, or this time. But I want to talk a little while about the word time.
Time.
What time is it? We hear that every day. What time have you got? 6 o'clock. All night as I woke, there's two little subjects came to me, and one of them was time. I sing a song sometime, and I may not sing it now, but I'm not dedicating this to you that are late. That's not what's on my mind with it. Life on earth is very brief, like the falling of a leaf and the binding of a sheaf beyond time. Leaving days are coming fast, soon the fatal life will pass, and the Savior comes at last beyond time. Did you ever sing it? Have you ever heard it? Anybody ever hear that old song?
No.
Very simple. Thank you for the request.
Amen.
Claude, did he? Did you think of Claude when this brother sang?
Yeah.
I did. I thought of Claude.
Yeah.
Bury me in a little graveyard, place my Bible by my side, tell all my friends as they stand around me how I lived and how I died. Claudia.
That's right.
Claudia. Life on earth is very brief, like the falling of a leaf and the binding of a sheaf. Beyond time, leaving days are coming fast. Soon this fatal life will pass, and the Savior comes at last. Beyond time, beyond time, beyond time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, beyond time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate. Trust in Him and don't be late, beyond time. There is flowers soon decay, youth and beauty pass away, for we have not long to stay, beyond time. While His Spirit bid you home, sinner, do not longer roam, for tomorrow will soon be gone, beyond time.
Beyond time,
beyond time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, beyond time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate. Trust in Him and don't delay, beyond time. Won't you heed His tender voice? Make the righteous way your choice. With His angels will rejoice, beyond time. From the darkness into light, come, let Jesus make you right. He will lead you through the night, beyond time. Beyond time, beyond time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, beyond time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate. Trust in Him and don't be late, beyond time. Why did you ask the Lord, let me say it 3 times? You didn't know I heard that, did you? I'll leave it up to Him. I felt impressed to ask him yesterday, did his church have a steeple on it? And the one I saw had a steeple on it. And he asked the Lord, let me say that three times to him during the service. And I said that three times. Never did notice that later when I heard that. I'm just having a little fun with my brother over here. But for some reason he asked the Lord, let me say that three times. Yeah. And I left that alone and I come back and said it again. And I left it alone and come back and said it again. You know, the Lord's a mind reader and a heart regulator. We have a little black sister down home. Good little sister said, he's a chaperone God and a heart regulator. Yeah. Romans 13. And 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. It's good to have neighbors next door. It's got love in the heart. Don't work no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You know, love's the most powerful source I can think of right now, or force I can think of right now, love. Oh, have mercy. Mother run through the fire because of love. Right. I started Newcastle one morning over there in the middle of Oklahoma. I come by houses, smoke pouring out of it. There's folks there, and I went on up town, and I stopped in a little 7-Eleven. A lady said, I live right out yonder, big old house on the side of the road. I said, where do you live? She told me. I said, sure enough. Well, there's a house out there, smoke coming out of it a while ago. Phone ringing, and she went hysterical. The house on fire. And oh, I got to get there. Well, I took her, and we went out there, and we let her out, the smoke just boiling out across the road, and a big, wide, oh, I don't know, it was 100 yards across, looked like to me. And she jumped out of my pickup before I could grab her. She ran into that smoke. That's a mother.
Yeah.
And her children was in that house. It choked her to death in there, fall out in that smoke, but she and me running after. But just so happens, got across through there and run out on the other side, and they grabbed her over there. Love. Love. Just called Mama to give her life right like that. She didn't die, but some of her children was burnt some, but they didn't die. 11th verse, and that knowing the time, that is now high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Time. What time is it? We ask that all the time. Well, it's high time to wake out of darkness. It's time to lay off some things and put on some things. It's time to get up and do some walking.
Right.
Amen? Put on the Lord Jesus. Put on the armor of God. Cast off the works of darkness. Get up and do some walking. It's time to get with it. I'm not a great Bible scholar. I'm not a great mental wizard. I'm not a great prophecy preacher, but I'm going to tell you all one thing I know. That we're in the end time. We are not yet to come to a period of time or a period of years that will be the end time years or the end years. We've been in them for a good while. Amen. Amen. We're down to almost down to complete one world government. We're almost into one world currency. We're entering fast as we can possibly into a world ruler. That'll rule the world. They're talking to sinners down where I live. Don Rich say it's a mark of the beast. They tell Brother Moore, sinners, rank sinners, don't even go to church. It's a mark of the beast. On the radio down where I live, they say it's a mark of the beast. They can see better than we can where we're headed. Time. It's high time to get with it.
Get with it.
It's time to wake up. It's time to get up. I tell you what. Revelations 10 and 5 said, the angels stood on the land and the sea and said, time will be no longer. It's about over, children. We're down to where the sun's sinking on us. An angel will soon be proclaiming, time no longer. Time will be over. What are you doing with it? Brother, we buried Brother the other day, McDaniel, Brother Clarence. Preacher for 40 years, friend of mine. He preached a message that's talked in Oklahoma and lived for years and years on wasted time. He preached that out there at Pharaoh.
in Oklahoma, a little bitty place out in the woods, little church. He preached on wasted time. It's gone everywhere in that country. Everybody, I didn't hear it, but I got word of it, and they brought it to me. Clarence preached on wasted time. You ought to heard it, Brother Moore. Great God, have mercy. You give all your own. You could give all you could get together. If you could call back time after a while that you wasted and given it to God and done something for God. No boy down home didn't have vision past the end of your nose spiritually. He said, it ain't a time to build churches. It ain't time to build churches and put great monies and things. We're too near the end time. My Lord, man, have mercy, man. I said, I was aiming to try to get 2 or 3 million at least invested in churches and in missionary work and buildings. So when the great fire broke out, if it was anywhere where I could see it, it was over in heaven looking at it, wherever, I could say, thank God, Lord, we invested 3 million in that fire for you.
Right.
You had something to burn down that we put up for you. I'd hate for you to burn the world up and Christians say we didn't put a dime in it. I'd rather put a bunch in it so they could say that's what we built for God over there. That's burning down over there in Africa. That's what we built for God.
Take it with you.
Yeah, great Lord. Time to move.
Yes, all right.
You know what folks need to do? They need to get with it. Yes. It's the end time.
Right.
Wasted time. Have you wasted much of it? Have you wasted much of your time? After a while, we're not going to have any time left. Did you know in Acts 17:21, it talks about time spent. How do you spend your time? Amen? Well, maybe you're like the folks that have spent their time in nothing else. But either to hear or tell something new. What's the latest? What have you heard?
Yeah.
Brother Rackley came from San Bernardino, California, greatest native orange belt in the world, and come to Oklahoma. Don, and when he landed there, drove in there in his old car, a fellow met him down the church where they known him and said, well, I hate to hear you and Sister Rackley broke up, Brother Rackley. Well, he said, I didn't know it. He said, I've been 3 days on the road. He was worse than old Willie, but I mean old Willie's been on the road, but he's been on the road. You know, Willie ain't the only one been on the road. I sang on the road again too, but it's a different tune. He said, when I left 3 days ago, she told me she thought the world of me. Couldn't wait till I got back. Said, if it's we broke up, it's happened since I left. Spent their time and nothing but to sit around on spit in the Whittler's corner and swap tails. I'm going to tell you the truth. God bless you. Now, don't get mad at me because probably ain't a guilty one in here. But I'm going to tell you some phone line needs to be took out or silenced or something.
Come on.
Because spending time and nothing else just talk to and fro on things that don't mean a thing.
No.
Oh, help us, Lord. I'm going to talk about time, wasted time. What do you do with your time?
Mm-hmm.
This fellow standing down in the pool hall, play pool all day today. Stay there till it closes. Every day. What does it mean? What does it avail?
Yeah.
What are you doing with your time? You don't have much left. Amen? Well, I'd sing the choir if I carry a tune. I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd pray for God to help me sing my faith and see if I can get a hold of a tune.
Right.
Time. You wish for it back. If I just had a few more minutes, I could talk to my son or my daughter, tell them I loved them. If I just had a few more minutes, I could ask that old boy's forgiveness. As men dying right now, if they could just get to who they want to get to. They didn't when they had time to do it, but time's gone.
God help me.
Amen.
Go.
Across the camp meeting ground in Mount Tabor, Arkansas, walked old Brother Ed. Discouraged. Wayne Dillard walked across that ground, slapped him right in the middle of the back. That's all he'd done. And said, Ed, I'm for you if that'll help you. He didn't walk 25 steps till he met me, and he said, Brother L.L., he said, Brother Moore, you'll never know what in the world that done to me. He said, I was down. Nobody knows but me. I was into it. Said, I depressed. And that Wayne Dillard walked by and slapped me in the middle of the back and said, I'm for you if that'll help you, Ed. And walked on. He said, it put the spesorinctum back in my step. Brother Addis said, I put in his. He said, I put spesorinctum into him. I don't know what it is. I've never looked it up in the dictionary. I'm afraid to if it's in there.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, it helped him. and I'd like to put it back to somebody else. Thought I'd die. I didn't sleep a wink for 5 months and looked like I'd go, and I saw a vision of myself as I lay on the bed dancing to the right as hard as I could and dancing to the left as hard as I could. I said, God, don't raise me up, I'm born again. Oh, you say, I don't believe in that. The hogs and the birds and the lambs and the loons do. Well, that's what we name our ball teams, and then they wonder what Daniel meant the Lions. And well, we shouldn't be so shook up over animals. We name all of our boys that, and they get on a team somewhere, the bird, the tiger, and the lions. Well, that's, oh, tell me you don't believe in shouting. Your baseball team win, so we have to holler till you get the laryngitis and have to go to the doctor. Sure you believe in demonstrations and emotions. Sure, just about everybody believes in that. They five certain kinds of it, but they believe in it.
Right.
What are you doing with your time?
Right.
Now, I can't understand the Bible. Do you read it? If you can't understand nothing in the Bible, you need counseling for sure. Because God didn't write a book that hard to understand. Amen? Amen. Time. What are you doing with your time? You know, time right here is as good a time as you ever spent in your life, and you'll never regret any of it. And as you near the end of your life, you'll be like that woman I prayed for in Arkansas, not Arkadelphia. I've been to some famous places, Slap Out, Arkadelphia, and Frog Level, help meetings in famous places like that. But this place was in Arkansas, and she had cancer and went to pray for her, and she said, if I could go back one more time to God's house, Brother Moore, if I could just get there, I'd stand and lean up against the wall, never say a grumbling word if I couldn't even get a seat to sit in. I'd stand and lean against the wall if I could just go back one more time. Time is running out. Your time and my time. We sang that chorus in Oklahoma. Time running out on you. Mm-hmm. Yes. Fella called me a while back from the state of Virginia on his car phone. Brother Moore, he said, I've heard God use you. Well, son, if he does, it ain't because he needs me. Not a bit. He got 1,000 volunteers standing ready to take my place any time, Elder. He said, Mama's bad. Mama's a great woman. Yes, I know you, Mama. She lived in a faraway place from me. Yeah, I know you, Mama. Said, and she's a great woman. She is, son. Your mom indeed is a great woman. Brother Moore, she's sick. Pray for her. If the Lord shows anything, will you tell me? I quit promising folks I would a long time ago. No, I will not promise you that I will tell you if God showed me. If it's God's will, I'll tell you. Actually, I wouldn't talk to y'all. The Lord, that
one.
Fell on my face, went to prayer for, and I seen that hearse come rolling by. Yeah. I seen that hearse come rolling. Mama wasn't too old. A lot of women lived many years long with her. Seen that hearse come rolling by. That little businessman, this boy's a businessman, called me a few days, Brother Moore, what the Lord show you? I said, I don't guess I need to tell you much about this situation. I'm praying for you. I need to know, Brother, what the Lord showed you. I don't feel, I don't tell about it. But he, I said, well, can you hold it? I thought he could. He said, and he did. I'm going to tell you. I saw a hearse come rolling by. Why don't you tell us, Brother Moore? Because I felt like her time was nearly gone. And if I didn't tell it, she might need to know it so she could do some things she'd planned on doing when he got down where she didn't have nothing left, Hart. Good woman. He went silent on the other hand, son. I said, I'm sorry. Can't tell you nothing else, but you asked me, didn't you? And you asked me to tell you. And I'm not two-faced, and I'm not playing games with people. We're looking for God's will and God's truth. I saw the hearse. 30 days later, little more than 30, he called me the other time between then, and then he said, she's gone, Brother Moore. She's gone. Well, did they all do that? No. Sister Pat come to my church, and
He's going to operate it on. Thought she had cancer. Before she went to surgery, she is at church. She was able to get there and then going in for cancer surgery. I saw her walking down the hall in the hospital in the gown, her gown walking down the hall. And she's well and no sign of cancer. It wasn't cancer. It wasn't cancer. Well, that's easy to tell after it happens. But I told the church before it happened. That's right. I said to her, before she went, I see you walking down the hall in your gown, and there's no cancer. They didn't find no cancer. Oh, glory, glory, she said. That's the way I seen you sliding in that car when we was on the platform before you come up here to church and had prayer for you that God inspired you. You watch how you drive. Time. Time. What are you doing with your time? If you die today or tonight, and God keeps a record, like I think He never forgets anything. I forget, I sat beside an old boy sitting right there last night and met him out there. Maybe here's one. I met him out there. I don't know, I'm looking for him ferociously now, but I met him out there. I said, I never want to see you. He said, I sat right beside you. We are in a perilous time. We ought to redeem the time like Ephesians 5:16 tells us to. Redeem the time. Some people don't care what to do with the time. But you need to be careful about your time. 1 Peter 4 and 2 talks about the rest of his time. You got 7 more years to live. God, you tell some of us that. You got 5. You got 4. You got 3.5. If God told you today that you had 3 years to live, what would you start doing with your time? With your time. Revelation 12:12 talks about a short time. Just a few expressions here. We buried my preacher friend. I was his father in the gospel 40 years the other day.
Tell us about it, Brother Moore.
He thought he had more time. He thought he'd be here a while longer.
Tell us about it.
He just slipped and fell in the bathroom and hit his head on the tub. It cut a place on his head. My head's killed me, said why. Rushed him to the hospital. I was over here at Dayton, Ohio, and they called and said, he's in the hospital. God spoke to me. I turned to Benny while they're still talking. I said, he's gone, Benny. He's gone. We ought to pull him out of it. Hope to bring him out of it. I said, Benny's gone. He's already gone. He was. Oh, if you'd have known Dad was leaving, you'd have said more to him, wouldn't you? I would.
Yeah.
You'd have said more to Mother if you'd known she's leaving, wouldn't you? You'd right. Took back a few things you said you shouldn't have said, wouldn't you?
Right. Leaving.
Time.
Going.
Time. Going. It's running out on us. What are you doing with it? Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand.
Uh-huh.
He knew it. I wish we could keep abreast of what God wants us to know. Paul could. And he said, the time of my departure is at hand. He preached in a place and they wept sore on him because they said, you shall see my face no more.
My.
He thought, he'll be back. Don't believe that. He'll be back. If you'd have known when Grandpa waved that last time, you would have been such a hurry, would you? You would have said, if I don't even work tomorrow, I'm going to stay here and talk to Grandpa a while.
Right.
But you went to work and Grandpa went to heaven. Any time is in the Bible quite a bit.
Right.
That time and this time and all time and the same time.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your time? Very important to think about that. Your time. You have a message on the time. I'm going to give you another one here. Another little message. I had these two, and I couldn't get rid of either one of them, so all I know to do is preach both of them. But I want you to think about time now. And let's try to do something worthwhile with our time. Has the time of your sojourning here in fear? Do something with your time. Make good use of your time. And now I won't say, how do you do? How do you do? We use that expression down home quite a bit. You meet folks, how do you do?
How do you do?
Old folks used to say it all the time, how do you do? And they said, how do you do? But they were actually saying, how do you do?
That's it.
We use that. That's my text. How do you do?
I'll say it.
I preach to your own time. I want you to think about it now, about your time. What it wasted time. Time well spent. Make your licks count. Make your licks count. Wouldn't you like to be a winner? You ain't going to knock a home run every time. But I'm going to tell you what you can try.
Amen.
All right, how do you do? In the book of Acts, 15th chapter and the 36th verse. Some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. How do you do? Do you like you did? Have you left your first love? Can you count on you at the midweek service now? Since you had a little fuss in the Sunday school class? How do you do? How do you react? How do you do?
Good.
How you do has to do with the spirit you have. I pastored a church, 9 of them. Never was success in any of them, but I meant to be. I had one church. We had about 35 families there. And there was an old boy that loved to disrupt a class. He loved to get in a Sunday school class and ask something that is 40 miles from what they're studying all week. That he's sure there wasn't nobody to be able to answer it in 40 miles and ask it. And just shake the teacher all to pieces, and they'd try to answer it when they should never have even attempted to. Can God do anything? Yes, yes, yes. Could he make a rock so big he couldn't move it? He ran folks out of that class. They wouldn't go in there. How do you do? Huh? Do you think the way you discuss the Bible is find some unreasonable thing you can ask so you can upset everybody at equilibrium that's in there because ain't nobody knows what you're talking about? It makes you look like you're smart because nobody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Do you know one of the smartest men I ever heard of was a German preacher? They had a great scholar in that country who was an atheist. And this happened. And he could talk up old Hebrew and Greek. He could quote that and speak it. And he'd always ask preachers that came to hold meetings for that church where he attended. He liked going out and give trouble. And he had always asked them a question in Hebrew or Greek. And the old German didn't know either one, but he answered him in the German. And the scholar didn't know German, and he is too smart to admit he didn't know it. And the old man didn't know Greek or Hebrew and smart enough to know that that guy didn't know German. So the fellow said, this is the smartest preacher you folks have ever got in this country here. He had debated everyone in there and just shamed them because he was so far above them, took a course in the life of Paul and memorized every bit of it. But the old preacher sunk his boat. I had a funeral with this fanatic. Did you ever meet a fanatic? I may be within my text. How do you do? Might be the reason folks don't like you. How do you do? Maybe the reason you don't do so well is what you do. Personal question, how do you do? Let's go again and see how they do. Let's see if that old boy leading the choir is still anointed with the Holy Ghost and fire. You don't let that. You know I sung a special. You don't hear me sing a special very often. Well, I sung one night, and an old boy said, it sounded like a hoot owl to me. Knocked me out. It took me 3 minutes to get back in the service. I tell you, like to knock me completely out. How do you do? It ain't what others is doing. I'm asking you, son, how do you do? If it was interesting enough to Apostle Paul to take a trip and go down and see how they're done, it's interesting to LD. How do you do, son? Has it got you down? Did it knock you out? Nobody amen you. You forgot what your text was, and didn't even say what you're aiming to say, and didn't pronounce right what you did say. And I'm going to tell you, you are. As much as an old dog makes such a ferocious mistake as that. How do you do? How do you overcome that stuff? How did you come up out of it? Did you come up? It's not the mistakes you made that embarrassed you so that hurt us so bad. It's because of what had happened to you, what had done to you.
Yeah.
Right. Amen?
Come on.
Preacher man, how do you do? We got a young man in this house this morning that says God is calling to preach. And he told me that the very idea. I said, I don't know whether he did or not. Oh, did you fall out because, are you down this morning because some preacher man just blasted you look like and didn't just hug and pet you like all of them have done? He just come straight across and told his sister at your tongue, like Bruce Wilson did. That sister said, pray for me in my tongue. He said, we have an altar here 14 feet long, sister. We try to get it on it. You shook her up, but that's the very thing she needed. How are you doing this morning? How do you do? Have you just about quit God in the church? I was singing that and I thought I interrupted. Sound like a hoot owl. Knocked the tune completely out of me. God was just schooling me so I would be able to take the blast and go ahead. Amen. I had to go back in that class and tell that fellow to be quiet. That was at Norman. He don't go there no more. To stay with what the teacher's teaching. Anybody can study up a bunch of tomfoolery all week long and then try to confuse the teacher with it that studied on one lesson for that Sunday. I tell you, pastor and churches is worse than herding a bunch of them longhorn cattle in Texas. And I wouldn't trade it for nothing, and I pastor this thing here. And he goes where I go, and his mother and daddy goes there. His mother's a little woman that walks on crutches. She'd never been able to walk on her feet, raised her family. You know, we had a water baptism one Sunday, and she was out there on the side of the pond, an ice cream pond, and was baptizing folks, and she said, I want to be baptized. Now, understand, she don't walk on her legs. I don't know how she does, but she walks on crutches, but she can't walk without them. She'll fall. Effie, I said, you can't come out here in this sandy bottom, in this deeper water, on them crutches. But you want to be baptized. How do you do? Do you just fold up when things hit you? Now, I'm not being critical when I'm asking you a question. That's what Paul didn't want you to do. They didn't go down and say, all you's a blessed bunch of folks that we couldn't do without you. You didn't put his things in the world. It's total like one. I looked at an old boy and I said, when I win a beauty contest, he didn't say a word, but his mind said, you're ugly as a barn. Glory to God. Effie, I said, me and your husband have to carry you out there in arms and baptize you. She said, I ain't afraid. We just took her out there and baptized her. The old boy standing on the bank, and you know him, 6'1", the brown boy that stutters, standing on the bank, his wife. Never been baptized because he's afraid of water. That's the reason Jay hadn't been baptized. How do you do? Are you letting something, that little fear or something, ain't big as a toenail nearly, drive you out? You can't come to church because you got a... Why, I preached a while back and pulled my sock off and the whole bottom of my right big toe come off. Nothing but raw meat left, like hamburger meat. I never did know I was in trouble. Did you miss it? Wasn't enough to miss over. I used to work in oil field with my daddy. My Lord, have mercy. Worked 35 hours at one time before I come off the clock. Worked 40 hours a week, was 14 years old, went to school every day, dad in the hospital in pharmacy. How do you do? Let's go again where we've been and see how they do. You don't mean that old brother still a shouting and them cussed him like they did and made fun of his preaching? Didn't seem like it had no effect on him. I love that, boy. I love that. Jay Brown handed his pocketbook to his wife and said, any woman that has to go on crutches and let men carry her out there and baptize her, and if they dropped her, she'd have drowned. Yeah. He said, I'm going to be baptized, and here he comes. Right. Hadn't been baptized because he's afraid of water. Behind where we baptized him, it dropped off to 15 foot. I've been not a fish, but I can swim. And it dropped off to deep water because we always kept up in the shallow water. And I told a fellow, help me, don't mention nothing about that deep water back out there. If we get anybody out there, we're going to somebody drown when they don't need to. I seen folks that have been better off that had drowned years ago while they're saved. We started old Jay backwards and he went to running. He got scared again. I thought, bless God, now we're in charge of this now. Jay, you're not. If you think, now, you'd have the same spirit, else you'd have been with him. We just run faster with him. Put him under, buddy. I said, only chance to baptize a fraidy cat. Hallelujah. We run hard as we could with him and sowed him. And when we raised him up, I stepped one foot off that deep place behind him. He scared death water for a baptize. I stepped one foot off that, and then finally had to go to... dog paddling and pushing with one hand and try to hold him up because he kept kind of coming backwards. We finally shoved him far enough away from there till we got out of just a simple little, that ain't even the gospel, did you know it? But look, how do you, the only reason they went to see, they weren't going to preach so much, to just check things out. Sister Brown, yes, yes. You still going to church? Oh, glory to God, yes. And we had a great meeting. Early. Some folks come just amazes me. They go back and say, best camp meeting was ever at.
Hallelujah.
Enjoyed every minute of it. We had 3,000 folks. And you said that. I didn't tell them. They train, we had the biggest meeting in Bristol in this lifetime which about ever had. One fellow said there's 5,000 on the ground one night. I said, I believe you're overshooting that. But there's a bunch there. I have a motel in the whole country around there full of people.
Yeah.
But you know what? Sometimes, as we travel, as we go, the Lord wants to check on, how do you do? We'll check it out here. How's he making it? Well, this old boy come to Bristol. We had some of the best singing you've ever heard, and some of the worst at times. And you know, he came, and we had good meeting, L.L., and I got around to him. All the time, he'd never been to a meeting like that in his life. I passed him a while one time, and I said, well, how'd you like the meeting? He said, it's off the singing, and the music was a little too loud. How do you do? I'm saying, how do you do? Do you think it's edifying to disagree every time? Some folks' thing to do, they think every time, is to be unreasonable. It's like the old man that eats his wife's good cooking on the wood stove, like he'd everything on the table. So, honey, how did you like it? He said, taste a little woody. I like to eat everything on the table. How do you do? Let's go again where we've been and see how they do. It's broke my heart to make the trips around again, and I can't get around where I've been now. But some are sick.
Yes.
Some are sick.
Oh, God.
It breaks my heart.
God.
Breaks my heart.
A lot of
some are rejoicing, encourages my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like for to shut all the churches down? Listen, did you ever hear of church trouble? I'm going to tell y'all the truth. Don't let it out.